Hey there, this is Jenny Chen. I'm the founder of 3D Heels. Welcome to the Lattice podcast, the official podcast for 3D Heels. This is where you will find fun but in-depth conversations with technological game changers, creative minds, entrepreneurs, rule breakers, and more, focusing on how we can use 3D technologies like 3D printing and bioprinting to reinvent healthcare and even life sciences. This podcast will also include AMA, or Ask Me Anything sessions, past Instagram live interviews with influencers, and other direct engagements with our tribe. Well, good morning, everybody, and good night, everybody. Depends on where you are. So I'm really happy that we can make this happen today. Matthew, thanks for joining us. So I'm going to introduce Matthew Pollard, the co-founder and owner of a cap. How do I say that right, by the way?
Cap. It's Kabiamata.
Is that Polish?
Actually, it's a shortened version of computer-aided biomedical engineering.
Okay.
So if you take first letters, it will be Kabiomeda.
Awesome. So I've been following Matthew's account for a while now. I've been reposting and just fascinated with what you guys are doing. And it seems like you have made a lot of progress since last time I checked your account. But today, you know, we just want to get to know you and your company a little bit better. It's such a fun field because, you know, everyone loves their cats, especially pandemic. Everybody got a cat and a dog, but with that, a lot of issues with it that people didn't anticipate. So there's a huge veterinary science and industry behind, you know, how to take care of your pets. And now with 3D printing, a lot of the advanced surgical procedures and treatment that were available for human now are available also for our beloved pets. So Matthew, I want to know a little bit about your journey, you know, from a biomedical engineer student who just graduated to then founding companies. I think that journey is very interesting to a lot of people who are listening. A lot of us want to be entrepreneur and students who want to, you know, figure out their career path. Would you like to share us about your journey?
Yeah, sure. Everyone wants to be entrepreneur, but when you go to the market, it's not so wow, I would say. But going from the beginning, first of all, thanks a lot for inviting me here, as I've been following your profile since a couple of months at least. And as you told before, we've made some progress during last months, years. In veterinary market, we are since 3 years, so it's not so long. But Kabiomeda, as the company, was founded 5 years ago. We have started almost just after graduation. It was like 1 year after graduation from University of Technology. We were 4 students, graduates of medical engineering. So we were trying to find our place in the market, because in Poland, if you would like to work in the medical devices industry, you have not so big choice, because we have like 5 or 6 companies making human implants. So we have decided that, okay, we will make the company by ourselves. In that time, there were some projects related to European Union funding. So if you had an idea, just idea for the startup, for the company, you could get quite a big amount of money by means of Polish market. And that's how it all started. But we have started as a company oriented on human medicine. As I told before, it's like computer-aided biomedical engineering, Kabiomeda. It was idea of making some type of R&D department serving services of mechanical engineering, medical engineering, and finite element simulations, 3D printing, etc., etc., for other companies of medical market. But it's not so easy, because if you are a medical devices company, you don't want to share your knowledge. You are not so eager to incorporate external R&D department. So it was quite complicated for us, as we were young people only four, because we have started as four people, to go into the market and rule it, especially with all of the documentation, formalities, standards, etc., related to human medical devices. And after 2 years of different projects related to human medicine, we have started with veterinary medicine. And from our point of view, it was quite a good decision, because when you try to make a business with veterinarians, it's pure business-to-business communication. Every single veterinary surgeon is a company who has its own patients, clients, customers, and it's not incorporated with insurances, for example, with public funding, with any other complications related, for example, to formalities, to proposals, to kind of mobs of discussions about some projects, about selling anything. Either you have money to heal your pet or not. So for us, business-to-business communication is really, really good in this matter. But veterinary is not only our main job. We have also sport department. So I would say 70% of our job now is veterinary medicine, 20% and growing is sport medical engineering, and 10% is like human medicine or just medicine. That's all. Now we are 5 years in the market, in Polish market, as a company, 3 years in veterinary medicine. And last weekend, I had opportunity to be a lecturer in Polish orthopedics conference, veterinary orthopedics conference. And I've been the youngest lecturer. And our company was named market leader in Poland, veterinary medicine market leader by means of veterinary engineering. So as for a quite young company, after 3 years of starting in this industry, it's quite a big success, I would say.
I agree. I mean, I think you guys are not just Polish leading company. I think, you know, from a world perspective, because the 3D printing vet market is so small, I think you guys are the leader of the world because it's so early, everything. So, I mean, it's quite interesting that you guys came out of school, just decided on funding a company instead of looking for a job. I mean, there is a huge amount of risk here because you may not even be able to put food on the table because, you know, it's not like you have worked for 10 years and saved up. And how did you make that decision and decide that risk was worth it?
Actually, if I would have a second chance, for example, to do the same.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure if I would go this way, because those points you have told now, we had not so many experience in the market. We didn't have, savings of 10 years working in a corporation or something like that. So we were young and stupid, probably, but it was like, oh, let's just make the company. Everyone will buy from us. Everyone will want our products, and we will manage it somehow. Reality was not so colorful, I might say, because, as I said, we have started in four co-founders. After 2 years, we had a little breakage in the company. So two co-founders have left us, but those two better ones are still developing CardioMed. So from that time, I think it was quite important to break it, to leave two co-founders and go in our direction without them. Because from that time, we have developed our products and company in quite good direction. Now we are six people. From time to time, when there is a lot of work to do, we are 10 people. So we have some contractors. And a couple of months ago, a couple of years ago, I've been listening to Guy Kawasaki webinar, when he was talking about 10 biggest mistakes made by startups. So we made all of them, every single one of them. without having this knowledge about, you know, idea of this mistake. So he was telling about projections of financing, scaling, multiplying numbers, etc., etc., or at least finding people to make your team, finding the team members. We made every single mistake, but we are still living, we are still in the market, and we are developing. So I think those mistakes were needed to make us stronger.
Well, I think at the end of the day is resilience, right? And a vision that your passion for this field is so strong that it didn't deter you from changing jobs and going for a more comfortable position. So that's really good. I mean, what is the biggest lesson of your entire entrepreneur experience, you think? If I were to ask you, what's the biggest lesson you learned?
The world is not so colorful. If you make this plan that, okay, we'll have the product, we'll have services, everyone will buy it, just try to verify it first. Try to verify, sell something, then make projections. If you will make projection on your own point of view, it's it's really a big mistake, because I'm not my customer. I don't know exactly what he or she wants from me. So listen to your customer, try to sell first, and then make some projections. And I think it was the biggest mistake from our point of view and the biggest lesson, because this idea of external R&D sounds really good. We will have the best tools, we will have the best software, technologies, etc., etc. So the company don't need to buy this software, hardware. But they don't need to have people which know how to make stuff using such tools. But at the end of the day, they don't want to share their knowledge because of internal intellectual property, because of just some competition in the market. People are not so eager to trust you, especially if you are young. Especially if you start company 1 year after graduation, right? So that was one lesson. Another one, quite big, but not maybe the biggest, is related to medicine as itself, at least in our market, medical technology, at least in our market, because average age of the surgeon in Poland is 58.
Oh, wow.
It's average. So I'm going there to discuss about 3D printing, new technologies to make their work better, faster, more simple, just better. And they told me that, okay, but I have 30 years of experience. I just don't need your tools. So convincing someone who is 2 times older than you is really problematic. And talking with young doctors, with young surgeons may be helpful, but still the decision maker is probably 58 or even more. So those people with such vast experience in the market, they are not so open for those new technologies. If you show them that, man, you'll be working faster, better, with better reliability, with less complications, etc., it's not so obvious they will use your services. But if you go to veterinary surgeon, they will, because they will make more surgeries, they will have less complications, they will just make more money.
Yeah,
because it's a business.
Well, you touched upon a really deeper problem in the medical educational system, which for human, right, there's this hierarchy where people take decades to learn a skill in the operating room because of accumulative experiences. But with 3D printing, you know, for example, using the surgical guide, for example, you can shorten the procedure, make the procedure simpler. So people who are younger with lower skill set and less experience can actually achieve the same result. Our education, not just in Poland, but also in the United States, have not really tried to promote that from the student level. So, you know, it used to take 30 years to train a surgeon, we can use 3D printing perhaps to shorten that into 10 years to into a really good surgeon. So I think some systematic issue that you just pointed out, which is quite on point.
That's why we are trying to change this, because we have lectures in medical universities, both for human doctors and for veterinary doctors. Yeah. And we are trying to educate those young people that we exist and we can make some business and make some science, because it's not only about the business, it's also about this research, science, etc.
Yeah, absolutely. And being the first is very challenging because no one has seen you before. Now let's talk a little bit about Cat Biomed. You guys started off doing R&D. Now, are you doing the complete cycle of R&D production and sales of your current veterinary products?
For us, every single product is somehow some type of something new. It's not a mass production. We are focusing mostly on custom-made products, custom-made solutions. So every single product is going through the process of R&D, of just trying to answer for the market needs or for particular surgeon needs, to maybe incorporating some tools or ways used in mass production, if it will be not only custom-made product. Because we are using 3D printing, we are using CNC machining, laser cutting, water jet cutting, etc. But most of the time for this type of prototyping of R&D all the time. And we have a lot of tools I wanted to have for all of my life. It's like I'm mechanical engineer, I'm mechanic, I would say, and now I have a lot of tools. So if you have a problem and you are a surgeon, I can just solve it using this R&D process of maybe trying to develop something completely new, or basing on this experience from 20 projects we made before, to propose you something which will solve your problem. And most of the time is solving the problems of surgeons, of cases. So we are doing this R&D almost all the time. When we make, for example, 10 or 20 projects which are quite similar, then we have some procedures that, okay, 21st, 22nd, we will be quite similar. So this path is not R&D from the beginning, but still next week you will have a project you didn't have at all. So you will have to think how to do it.
So in your biography, you mentioned that you have done 500 CT-based 3D printing for the veterinary cases. How did you find all these 500 cases? Or did I read it wrong?
As for now, after 3 years in the market, we have more than 500 cases in our database. Mm-hmm. And how we did it? First, it was like when we met first surgeon, it was quite personal case, because I had a cat which was ill all the time, which had health problems all the time. So I've met first surgeon here in Kielce in Poland, who had a customer with a dog which needed corrective osteotomy, because it was needed for angular correction of the limbs. So then after meeting this first person, it was quite easy. It was just going through the whole Poland for a couple of weeks, meeting those people with CTs with quite a big experience. And in our first trip across the country, there was like 15, maybe 12 veterinary CTs in the country. So during the first year, we've made all of that people and made some, at least to know each other, that we exist, we may help them in their day-to-day work. Mm-hmm. This year, after 2 years from that first journey, we made another run through the country and found more than 20 new cities. So in total, we have like 30 couple of cities dedicated to veterinary medicine.
Yeah.
So divided, you know, 10 patients from 30 cities is 300. So it's not so big number, I would say. And not every single case was our patient. Some of the cases were from the past when surgeons sent us the DICOM files that, okay, if I met you 2 years ago, I would have such case. How would you approach it? How would you help me in this particular matter? So it's more than 500 now, but not all of them were living patient or patient which was needing our help in this particular time, but still more than 500 cases where this 3D printing, this technology would help the surgeon. So now when another case will come, they will know how to make it and who will make it.
That's quite
at least in our country.
I mean, I guess it's because the surgeon can actually request a particular case from the past. I mean, we usually are looking to take care of patient now and future, right? And it is interesting that some people, because the way that they can just pay for it, they can actually learn from the past, the case that they already did, and they can revisit, be like, which is.
We are manufacturing models for training on the basis of those cases, but not only of those cases. For example, we have probably the biggest database of cat and dog fractures. According to our vet classification, we have more than 90 cases of dog fractures, including long bones and pelvic fractures, as well as in the case of the cats. Besides those classified fractures, according to our vet, we have natural fractures, like, for example, this one, where there was a case of fractured how is it in English? Femoral bone, and there was implants used. Implants was broken, and if you want to teach yourself to you know, get some knowledge and exchange experience with other surgeons, we have a lot of cases, really complicated cases. For example, if you need a case of obese dachshund with corrective osteotomy of front limbs, probably we have it. If you need a cat with pelvic fracture, we have it. We have a lot of cats. If you need any other case, probably we have it in our database, or we can have it in the next a couple of days or weeks, because we have this strong network of veterinary surgeons who will share their cities with us to expand this database. So it's just a matter of the level you would like to make the training. If you need, for example, veterinary training of basic level, basic fractures, according to our vet, not so complicated ones, it's not a problem. We can print 100 copies in 1 week and send it to you. We had 1 year ago probably the biggest order, considering the training models, from Norway, for example, when there was a training for surgeons, we were sending 4 fractures per person, and then they were learning, they were sharing their experience on the basis of our models. Normally, during the year, we had, for example, one workshop per month when we are delivering the models of different cases, and front limb, you know, pelvic limb, pelvic fractures, skull. It all depends on the level you need and on the fracture you need. What else? We have something interesting in our models, those for veterinary training, those for surgical training, because our models are pretty good in X-ray.
Nice.
It's not X-ray. It's a print. It's not X-ray of pelvis, of natural pelvis. Mm-hmm. It's a printed pelvis using our technologies, using our knowledge, and it's used for training of DPO, it's double pelvic osteotomy, which is done in dogs, but also triple pelvic osteotomy, etc. So we were making models for surgical training of pelvic models, like four of them. So every surgeon was basing on four pelvic models, yeah. And then learning how to cut it, how to bend it, how to make future patients walk better. So our prints are like almost like bones visible in X-ray.
I'm pretty excited for, you know, what this can do for education. I mean, I'm sure all the veterinary schools can benefit from it. So I'm not surprised that you delivered a talk recently to a veterinary school. But do you think that the Polish market is kind of unique? I mean, it is a lot of money to pay for the surgery and pay for the, you know, I mean, someone has to pay for this 3D printing and then the imaging part. Do you think, one, do you think people are going to, more people are going to pay for this in Poland? And two, is, do you think this can translate outside of Poland to the rest of Europe, for example, and then to the US? I mean, I know the healthcare system is pretty different, but I don't know about the healthcare system. That's totally also another different subject. So what do you think?
By terms of market condition, by market reality, I would say it's different in European countries, because in UK, for example, there's a lot of insurance companies and most of pets are insured. So the price of the surgery is like 10 times more than in Poland, mostly because of those insurance policies. And Polish market is growing because Poland as the country is developing. People are getting more and more rich, or maybe not rich. They have more and more money. They are still not so rich considering the border with Germany. There are rich people. And people are always going to pay for their pets, for the surgeries, because it's not a pet anymore. It's a part of your family, right? So this is a developing market in every single country, and more and more technologies are coming into veterinary. From the other hand, I'm not so sure if technologies from human medicine are going to veterinary medicine or the opposite direction, because in veterinary medicine you have plenty of space to test something new, to use the completely new technology, and then maybe it will be used in human medicine. So I think the market is growing not only because people are going to be more and more rich, but also the technologies are growing and developing, where in veterinary is definitely easier to use them. We have a couple of customers from northern countries like Sweden and Norway, from southern like Czech Republic, Slovakia, Bulgaria, and we are trying to expand internationally. It's not easy because of people's specification of social, communication problems, etc. It's this matter of trust, and now probably it will be definitely easier for us to go abroad than 2 years ago, because we have those 500 cases at least, and we are trying to go internationally. And for us, it's completely the same if we are working with Polish surgeon and if we work with German, United States, Spanish, or Bulgarian surgeon, because we are doing most of the job remotely. The surgeon is the decision maker. We are engineers. We are trying to propose at least two or three solutions for such case, what could be done, what we can manufacture. The surgeon is the decision maker who will use this product. So they need to have some scenario to possible pros and cons of such solution. And it can be done completely remotely. We just need a CT scan and either Instagram Live or Zoom meeting or anything to just discuss how we can help.
Yeah, that's really awesome. I know that you not only do surgical guides or models, but you also do implants, right? You're going into the implant space.
Yes.
Metal-based implants, I'm assuming.
Our offer is, I would say, from bottom to the top, from bottom technologies to the top technologies by means of machines. Training models, models for surgical planning are pure, simple FDM or SLS machines, technology depends what is needed. Then surgical guides are made mostly in technologies which allows you to use medical certified materials because it will have blood contact, skin contact, etc. So either clean FDM technology or SLS. But when it goes to implants, it's top of the top. So certified materials, but not only in metal. We are using SLM machines or DLMS machines printing in titanium alloys, but also polymeric implants. So certified materials used in simple FDM technology, because if you have a clean 3D printer and you know how to print it in a clean process, FDM sometimes is pretty enough, but most of the time is SLS or SLM. SLS for implants which are not transferring the loads, rather cosmetic implants, and metal print for those which are transferring the load.
Right, that sounds good. So we're approaching the end of our interview, and but I know that, do you have anything that you want to show us that's additional?
I have a lot. I'm waiting for this part, actually.
But show us a couple of fun ones.
I would like to start with probably the most interesting part, because people are thinking veterinary medicine is a lower level of medicine. That probably we have started with veterinary medicine because we were not so smart, or maybe we were not so, rich to go into human medicine, that veterinary medicine is somehow and sometimes treated as a lower type of medicine. But it's completely opposite. Simple case. This particular print is a 8-week cat. It's a cat who has a broken pelvic bone and had problems with digestion system, because it's pretty severe fracture as for an 8-week cat.
Yeah.
This one is a part of human pelvic bone. It's half of the pelvis.
Yeah.
So this is our patient, the smallest one. The weight of such patient is less than 1 kilogram. And this is human medicine. So our smallest patients are smaller than newborns. The typical newborn is like 3.5 kilos. So it's a Yorkshire Terrier. It's a cat. Our patients are like newborns, new babies. The biggest patient was more than 80 kilo dog, for example. So we have, from time to time, a difference of 100 times in weight. The smallest one is 1 kilogram. The biggest one is 100 kilos. This is the leg. This is the pelvis of the cat. So veterinary medicine is pretty demanding. It's not easy. It's every single time you have different species in a dog. If you are trying to specialize in dogs, in canine medicine, you have the most complicated species in the world, because from Yorkshire Terrier, which is 2 kilos, to Great Dane, which is 100 kilos, it's the most differentiated market, probably, the species of the dog. So every single time we have a different organism to treat with different needs. It's not like human medicine of a typical person, which is 75 right. kilos every single time. Yes. Our patient is from 1 kilo to 100. We have a lot of tumors. For example, it's calcinosis. It's not actually tumor. It's a case when the bone starts to grow outside the skeleton system in a soft tissues. So the surgeon can decide what to do with such patient. And for example, a bit complicated fracture after being hit by a bus. It's the dog. And in this case, actually, you don't know how to start. And what is the part of, where is the bone? Where is the, you know, anatomy? It's like a big problem. And to be honest, this particular dog is still living. It was cured. It was really, really complicated, but it was cured, and it's living without major problems.
Lucky dog.
Yes, because of meeting us. corrective osteotomies.
Yes.
It's pretty common in the world that you have a dog which has legs, you know, in the opposite directions because of the breeding problems. It's not the problem of nature of those animals. It's a problem caused by humans, by people. Because if you prefer to have, for example, French bulldog, you would like to have it with a short skull, etc., etc. Whereas those dogs have really big problems with nose, with you know, breathing, and it's a human caused problem. The fracture I showed before. Fracture plate, fracture another plate after two reoperative surgeries. So then it was a case where a part of fracture was cut off and our implant was implanted in the body. Polymeric implant. And no matter if it was transferring the load, it was polymeric implant because of using two titanium plates with that. Our patient from the north, so a dog from northern part of Sweden, northern from the North Pole, North Circle, and it was a huge hole in the skull we were securing with polymeric implant. Because it's not transferring the load, and polymer is really, really good working in this particular condition.
But is that, or is that polymer peak?
Could you please repeat, because there was some connection problem?
Oh, peak. Was a peak the polymer that you're talking
about? No. There was no need for a peak. In that particular case, we were using PA-12 or PA-11 of medical grade, because nylon was pretty enough. A PIC is good if you need to replace something which is transferring the load, but we are not printing with PIC, mostly because of high temp printer we do not have as for now. We are CNC machining PIC. If we need some complicated implants, we are using PIC in a form of rods or plates and CNC machining. It's way more cheaper than printing, and there's, from our point of view, not always a need of PIC implant. Considering titanium implants, I have one small patient here. I'm not sure if it will be visible.
Yeah.
Idea here was to make some ETAP, intracutaneous implant, which will then be covered with skin and foot printed in elastic material. But in those particular cases, it's always complicated because of soft tissue irritation and soft tissue not so growing on the metal implants. And we are not sharing such cases because in the world, no one made implant which will last more than 2 years. And there were a lot of tries to make such implants where there's a titanium rod in the bone going through the skin and paths for the cat or dog. but there is no journal article, or there is no information about cases longer older than 2 years. So you can make implant, you can make artificial limb for the dog, but it's not a success. The success is when it will walk for 2 years, for example, or 3 years without problem. And we have to have this in mind, that it's animal. So you cannot tell the dog to not, you know, not touch it, to try to walk and not so hard on this leg, etc. So it's really complicated. We have a couple of patients, but the oldest one was 1.5 years ago, a cat without two pelvic limbs, which lost it in an accident. And we made titanium implants, porous titanium implants with elastic prosthesis on the end. But it's 1.5 years. If it will last more than 2 years, we will share it with Ward. But as for now, it's our internal knowledge. But if you need a spine to plan the surgery, we can make a spine for you. We can make it this way. So you can make a plan, try it. If it's not good, you can make another print, try it again and again and again, going to the surgery room after you are ready for this. Or another broken pelvis, severe fractures after a car accident. So you can decide if you would like to fix it or just leave it as it is. In case of the dog, in case of the cat, sometimes it's better to not fix something, to leave it, because nature will try to fix it by itself. And this dog will not be a sports dog. It will not you know, run as it did before, but still it will be a living animal without so big problems, if it will be secured. It not has to be fixed, you know, in 100%. But 3D printing in veterinary medicine is not only bones, it's not only for hard tissue. Sometimes it's for soft tissues or for heart. Mm-hmm. It's a heart of a 30 kilos dog. So if you have a CT scan with a lot of contrast, if you know how to make the CT, we can do prints of soft tissue as well. Liver with abnormalities in, I don't know how it is in English, but liver with abnormalities, the heart, and another cases, another parts of soft tissues as well. It's all about contrast in this case.
Awesome. It's so good to have this conversation with you, Matthew. It's always so fun because I just had a puppy myself. So I totally understand what dog, cat parents go through when their pets are sick. And it's so needed to have better technology. But more importantly, I also want to make an announcement live that we're going to have a webinar, which you will be one of the speakers on November 4th with a panel of world-class experts on this subject. I'm really excited to hear all of your presentations and also have a conversation with one another live. I'm excited. I mean, all of you got like superstars and awesome. And everybody on camera right now, thank you so much for us. And I hope you can join us. The webinar is free. So register and then join us November 4th. Thank you, Matthew.
Thanks a lot.
Okay. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Good day too. Bye.
That's it for this episode. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at 3D Heels, and check out the links in the show notes. See you next time.